The Charlie Hebdo attacks turned a spotlight on Belleneuve, the suburbs filled with disaffected young Muslims. An association of mayors warned that the economic disparities the young people faced had to be addressed. Young Muslims said they weren't seen as truly French. Well, Moroccan Dutch novelist Abdelkader Benali knows that feeling. In an essay, he writes, he was a happy, freewheeling Dutch kid until he was reminded in a history class he was not part of. It was 1989. Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini issued a fatwa against author Salman Rushdie, saying his book, The Satanic Verses, insulted the Prophet Muhammad. Muslims died in violent protests. The Japanese translator was killed. Abdelkader Benali is still in the Netherlands. And Abdel, take us back. What was happening when you were 13?
People were demonstrating against the book in the streets of Rotterdam. There was this whole conflict on freedom of expression, freedom of religion. What is it when you have something that is dear to your heart, sacrilegious, and is being marked by a writer? Then suddenly, one day in a history class, the fatwa and the book popped up. And the point that our teacher made was that, you know, it was a book, a novel, and the Prophet Muhammad, if he was described in a fiction, that was okay for him.
Well, he said it was freedom of expression.
Well, it came down to it's a book and nothing is holy in a book. And for me, who came from a Muslim background, I got disturbed by it. And I said to the teacher, you know, I look at this differently and I think he should not mock the prophet, you know. And then the teacher said, you know, Abdel, all right and well, but I disagree with you. And then I got really angry. I felt not understood.
You wrote, I've never felt such anger before.
Oh, yeah. I remember myself standing up and shouting at him. I was really angry.
Well, and it sounds like you felt it wasn't about a book. It was about you. And you wanted revenge in that moment.
Well, at that moment, part of my anger was, I want you to, on behalf of Muslims, of me, my family, my background, to excuse yourself for that book, which is strange, but this is what happens. And remember, well, at that time, 89, there were hardly any Muslims in the public sphere. It was the first time, in a way, that I was confronted with being a Muslim.
Well, the irony is that when you did finally grow up and read the book, you saw that, in fact, it was about migration and the problems of integrating into another society.
Yeah.
It was about you.
It is about me. Exactly. The book is about, if you are religious, or you come from a religious background, a Muslim background, and you go into the secular world, you go into the West, what happens to your belief? What happens is that you start doubting things. You start to have doubt about what is sacrilegious, what is holy. And that doubt, that could be the start of a change, of a development in which you, me, myself, as a Muslim, has to divide myself in a secular society. That's an amazing development, you know. Mm-hmm. Millions of Muslims in the West are going through this.
In other words, it sounds like you're saying some of this anger is at oneself for questioning beliefs, and it may lead to lashing out at the source of those questions, the West. We know what happens. In this country, someone could get angry enough to bomb an abortion provider or to kill a policeman. But explain more about this feeling that you had, so angry, the bile rising, you want revenge. What happens where somebody actually acts on that?
Well, you know, the step between reasoned anger and irrational anger, I don't know. Killing people because of their words, because of the cartoons. I mean, we are all against this.
But you understand just the anger, as you said, of Muslims trying to integrate into the Western world. Tell us more about that. Because in France, for instance, they say the Muslim communities are not integrating. People might respect the Muslim beliefs, but if you come into another world, you have to respect those values.
Yeah, the majority does. I mean, they have been here for centuries and they love Europe. But now comes the but. It's a little but. A lot of Muslims feel treated as second-class citizens. When Islam is being discussed in mainstream media, it's using stereotypes like the ones in Charlie Hebdo. Explain this to a kid of 12, 13, you know. He has a Muslim background, totally secular, going to school, you know, secular school. And his classmates are saying, hey, you killed people. You know, why? Because I saw it on television yesterday. And that, I mean, and this is not something that happened overnight.
Yeah. Well, you say that most Muslims that you know are sick to their stomachs about, you say, it's creating nausea among European Muslims that boys and girls are being lured from their families, turned into killing machines. You say that's not your Islam. But then you say, I know from my own experience that the lure of extremism can be very powerful when you grow up in a world where the media and everyone around you seems to mock and insult your culture. I just want to ask you about that, though. People were not even responding to the Muslim world at all, it would seem, until things like the fatwa against Salman Rushdie. Some of the questions about the Muslim faith only started because of the values of the Muslim faith that didn't mesh with the Western world.
Well, it's always good to criticize these. I mean, and this should be a topic of reform within European Islam, how to reconcile faith with secularism. This should be number one topic. But from the point of view of a Muslim minority, you feel a minority in Europe. You don't feel strong. You feel weak. You don't feel welcome. You feel turned away when you want to make your argument. It's up to Muslims in Europe to look for ways to be strong in the argument and not to be afraid of criticism, not to be afraid of cartoons. As a friend of mine said in Tangier, if you're a real believer, you can never be mocked by cartoons. You know, the ones that benefit most from free speech are minorities. To speak out, to get to know the society he lives in. Free speech is always on our side.
The other point you make is, as a child, in standing in that classroom feeling alone, you thought that by attacking the messenger, the teacher, you know, with your anger, your anger would disappear and you would be the victor. But when you were older, you understood something else.
I mean, this is, you know, story of my life. And I think of many more lives. You go through transition. You know, if I grew up in a Muslim society, it would be different because you are the majority. Nobody's questioning faith. But growing up in Holland or Europe, your faith is questioned. What gave me the biggest inspiration to deal with this was fiction, was literature. Albert Camus' The Plague, The Satanic Verses, Midnight Children, Kafka's Transformation, Metamorphosis, all gave me insight in how good doubt is, how good it is to stand for your principles, and that being vulnerable is a force of power, never a force of weakness.
Well, as you write, that literature helped you find a freedom to doubt, to feel empathy for characters and people with whom you disagreed. And that's what liberated you from that anger.
It is. You know, I do not want to discard anger. You know, anger can be a positive force. But I think that what channels this anger is literature. It transforms it in something good.
One last quick question. Those disaffected youth in all those banlieues outside Paris, if you were to tell the young people in these communities who feel that they are not treated as Parisian, they are not one, as you felt when you were a kid, one thing for them to do, what would you tell them?
You know, I go out in the country in Holland. I go to prisons. I go to high schools. I try to bring over the hidden message that your anger, it's legitimate. It's good. But use your anger in a good way. Your emotions are good. They're holy. I respect your emotions. And the moment you give this message, these young people say, hey, he's not turning me away. And you know what happens next? They want to talk to you. They want to have their story heard. There's an ear that wants to listen to them. People open up and tell their story.
What you feel you didn't have when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah, that was, that was, for me, that was the pit of hell. That was the one of the darkest moments in my life. Not to be heard.
Moroccan-Dutch novelist Abdelkader Benali, for his essay in the New York Times, go to hearnow.org.